Good evening. I thought I'd try a PowerPoint, but I'm not sure it's going to work tonight. But I think God gives people messages, and I seem to always have the message about missions. So it's probably no surprise for you that I'm going to talk about missions tonight. It really is a pleasure to be in a community that has a heart for reaching the lost. And so, you know, Matthew 24:14 says, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Well, I say, come quickly, Jesus. I'm ready. I want to spend eternity with Christ. But until Christ comes back, He has called us to serve by serving others with love and grace and mercy. Before I get started tonight, I wanted to recognize that God has given me a blessing that many men don't have that I run into. And that is a wife who has followed me everywhere, has done anything I've asked. And when I say the Lord has called us to do something, she just says, let's go. And so I just wanted to recognize Joyce because she has been a true blessing in my life. Well, let's go to prayer now. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds for God's word that we might be worthy to serve Him. So, Father, we come before You this night and we want to be ever mindful that You are an awesome God beyond our imagination. That You are a Lord who created the whole universe with His very word. And Father, we are but Your creations. And as Your creation, we want to love You and honor You and be obedient to You. So Father, it is my prayer this night that as we look through the passages of Scripture that I have selected, that You put on my heart, that it would speak to everyone as to how we can serve You better this day. In the name of Christ, amen. I think we see through Scripture in verses and in passages that God lays out what's going to be His blessing. And when He does that, I like to call that the top line. Because in the Scriptures, then it's followed up by what will be the effect? What will be the cause if we are obedient to what He tells us? And that's the bottom line. So as we go through the Scriptures tonight, what I'd like you to look at is what God says He's going to do, and then if we're obedient, what will happen? And it's the top line and bottom line that I find throughout Scripture. So tonight, I wanted to start with Psalm 67. Charles Spurgeon wrote about Psalm 67. He said, "Ignorance of God is a great enemy of mankind, but the testimonies of the saints overcome this deadly foe. This is what I pray, that through our testimonies and through the Word of God, we can effectively begin to take back the territory that rightly belongs to God. And Satan has no right to." So open your Bible to Psalm 67. And what is unique about Psalm 67 is it is a prayer and a promise. And so as I read through Psalm 67, begin to look for those things, and we'll go through them and look at the top line and then the bottom line. So Psalm 67 says, "God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us, that You may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the people praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously, govern the nations on earth. Let all the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth shall yield her increase, God. Our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. In the first two verses of this psalm, the main point is that we have a true, the one true and living God, and it is his will that all people in the world know who he is. And in verse 1, the psalmist pleads with God, be merciful to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. This is the top line. So then in verse 2, we see for what purpose will he do this? What is the bottom line? The bottom line is that his way and his salvation may be known among all the nations. God has chosen us, his followers, to bless the nations by acting as his ambassadors. How are we to be his ambassadors? What qualifies or equips us to be his ambassadors? It is simply this. We must learn to move with the heartbeat of God. Well, how do we do that? We must know God through his written and his living word. We must share the good news through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us as his followers. We are called to action. We are called to go out and seek the lost. It tells us in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Apostle Paul was the first missionary of the New Testament. He understood that this was a call to action and a call to serve God's people. He traveled the nations preaching God's word. Paul's approach to sharing the good news, I think, is well illustrated in Acts 17, verses 17. Paul is in Athens. He's waiting for others to catch up to him. He's provoked and frustrated that the whole city worships all sorts of idols. So what does he do? Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. First, Paul shared the good news of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, with the religious Jews. This would be equated with many of the religious, but unbelievers in our church today. Paul hoped that some might open their hearts and their minds to the truth of Christ. Then Paul went on to share with the Gentiles. We can compare these with the Americans in our own country who are willing to listen, and some are willing to even seek truth. But they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and be discipled to maturity. And then finally, Paul went to the marketplace every day to see who God had begun to regenerate their hearts and minds and open those hearts and minds to the truth and the hope and the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Today, this is the people we work with, we socialize with, and we meet in our daily lives and activities. So it's not just unreached people groups in foreign countries, but it's the people all around us in our lives every day. Paul took this one approach. Daily he went to the marketplace and share the gospel with everybody he would met and who would listen. How about each of us? How are we doing? Are we sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that God puts in our lives? Or is it the greatest secret that we hold in our lives? So the top line is, are we sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And God tells us when we do that, That the bottom line is that he has begun to regenerate the hearts and minds of men, and some will come to know Jesus Christ. So why are we afraid to share the gospel with the lost? In the ministry I lead, Great Commission Alliance, we exist to help churches to try to effectively equip their bodies to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to be able to share the good news, to bring the lost to the knowledge of an awesome God. And we try to do it with biblical models as opposed to man's techniques and corporate structures that often we find churches and agencies following. God wants to be worshiped and known in all the nations. God has called us to this ministry. It is not only what he has commissioned us to, but it is our duty and it is our privilege to be part of. We often talk about Matthew 28:18-20 is a great commission passage. And we hear it in church all the time when it comes to missions. And what does it say? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Well, Christ is God incarnate, so that makes sense. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Instead of the part that says, go, therefore, and make disciples, it could rightly be translated as you go. As you go, make disciples. As we live our lives and begin to share the gospel with those that God puts in our paths, then we are becoming obedient to his command to share the gospel. So we can go back now and look at Psalm 67 and look at top line and bottom line and how it's repeated in Acts 1:8. So before we go back to Psalm 67, let's look at Acts 1:8. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is the top line. When we give our lives to Christ and he is our Lord and Savior, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It only becomes natural to begin to seek God and live for God. Now here comes the bottom line. And you shall be witnesses to me. Why are we going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? So we can witness to the world about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So as we live our lives and we begin to love and serve others in the name of Christ, first, we serve him and we are witnesses to him in Jerusalem. That's Albuquerque. Then it says in all Judea. Well, that's the greater Rio Grande Valley where we live and work and travel. Then it says Samaria. And that's where we begin to serve regionally. And we go out and we're working in Mexico in this church. And finally, it says to the end of the earth. This is missions where there is no church of Jesus Christ and his name is not known. Taking the gospel to the nations and making God known to the lost did not begin with Apostle Paul. And it didn't end with Apostle Paul. It began with Abram, who later became Abraham. If we look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, again, we will begin to see the top line and the bottom line. It says in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Here comes the top line. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. Here's the bottom line. and in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Why was Abraham blessed? So the families of the earth may know the one and true God. Abraham left to his family. He went to where God was not known, and he went out of obedience. He was scared. He ended up messing up, and he even lied. He said Sarah wasn't his wife, but he was obedient, and he went. The result was that families throughout the earth have been blessed as Abraham's children and have come to know and worship a mighty God. God repeats this theme throughout history and his holy word. There are way too many verses in the scriptures for us to go through this tonight. But let's look at Isaiah 49:6. In Isaiah 49:6, it says, I will give you, and God is talking about Israel. It says, I will give you as a light to the nations. That's the top line. Israel was to be a light to the nations. Bottom line, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God always has a purpose for what he does. And the ultimate purpose is that he should be worshipped and glorified. There are over 280 verses in the Old Testament that have a top line promise and a bottom line promise from God when it concerns the Gentiles and reaching the nations. And, of course, the scriptures don't stop with the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. And we find this theme is carried on through the entire New Testament as well. The reason the church exists today is first and foremost to worship and honor God. And in part of that doing is to go out and share the gospel with the lost, as in a 1-Acts-8 model, locally, regionally, globally. That's the sign of a balanced church. If we go back to Psalm 67, we can see that, again, the psalmist says, God, he pleads with God. He says, God, be gracious to us, bless us, and cause your face to shine on us. That's the top line, bottom line, that you may be known in all the earth, your salvation among the nations. I think what this theme implies through both the Old and New Testament is if God blesses people for the sake of the nations, for the sake of the lost, then he is most likely to bless us, you and me and this church, when we are planning for, we are longing for, we are praying for, and we are working to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him. God is calling us to be both obedient and faithful to his word and promises. If God's plan is to be worshipped by all nations, and I think the scriptures make it so clear that it is his plan, then he will pour out his blessings on those who are faithful to him to carry out his plan. He will equip churches that are pouring themselves out to reach the unreached of the world. These blessings from God, I want to make clear, are not payment for services rendered. They are not blessings as the world would define blessings. But they are blessings because they bring us close to our God. So, do we receive the gift of power from the Holy Spirit? Yes. And joy? Yes. But we also receive the blessing of suffering, which we'll talk about in a minute. When we seek to make disciples of unreached peoples, we seek to share with them the living water and its blessing that God has proportioned for them. And we have the joy of being allowed to be part of God's gracious plan. He does not need us to accomplish his work. He created the universe by his mere word. But he allows us the privilege to be involved in his plan of redemption. If we go back to Psalm 67 and we look at verses 3 and 4, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations of earth. The greatest blessing we can ever know is to be able to know and praise our Lord and God. In the opening of John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad, he states, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. This promise has not been fulfilled in our time and our history. But it has been fulfilled for God, because God lives outside of our time and space and history. So in God's economy, this promise has already happened and been fulfilled, and that's a reason we can know without a doubt it will happen in our time and history. And we need to begin to think about God's promises are for sure. And we can rely on them. And they will be fulfilled. So God-centered worship in our lives and in our church is not the result of works, but it is the fuel that fires the desire to do God's work. To understand and worship God, we must study, we must know His Word, we must seek Him in prayer and time of reflection. To be a follower of the Savior of Jesus Christ is to live a radically different lifestyle than our American culture. We should be offensive to American culture. We are to be in this world, but not of this world. Through God's blessings upon us, we are His witnesses to an unbelieving world. We reach out to the unsaved, and we are called God's ambassadors. What a privilege. GC Alliance, the ministry I'm in, was born out of this desire to help churches get back to biblical models, and that's the reason we build partnerships to help churches and organizations to come together and work as teams. To work as community, to penetrate the difficult parts of the world with the gospel for the unreached. When we come together and work as a team, when we work in community, it's a far greater witness than when we work alone. It models community, and community is what we see modeled in the scriptures. We can more effectively push back the borders of what Satan has taken and recapture territory for Christ when we work as community. It's the pattern we see in Acts and the epistles, because when we read through those, we see teams of apostolic men going out to plant churches. We do not see individual men. We do not see a senior pastor model of church. Joyce and I have been so blessed beyond what we could have ever dreamed that we have been allowed to be involved in ministry. And in the last 7 years, we have seen over 4,000 Muslims come to Christ. We have seen over 300 underground churches planted. And these churches are national churches, churches that understand living in community. They're doing their own training, they're doing their own literacy, their own translation, because the teams of nationals have been trained where they can do it for themselves. And our job then is to move on and go somewhere else. I was sitting with the leader of an underground church who has been sharing the gospel in a lot of very bold ways in a very oppressive country. He's been arrested several times. He's been beaten several times for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was with him and his wife, and she looked at me and she said simply and matter-of-factly that her husband will be martyred for serving Christ. But she also said that it was all right because he was doing exactly what God had commanded him to and called him to. They both understood that serving and dying for the cause of Christ is a blessing. And as they talked, I was listening, and I thought, when was the last time I heard an American Christian speak so boldly and with that kind of conviction for the cause of Jesus Christ? Those of us who are fully committed to the cause of Christ are indeed blessed with suffering. Because when we suffer, it helps us relate to people in oppressive countries and what they have to live with every day. It breaks us so that we may be used by God more effectively. It softens us and makes us better able to love others. It weans us from that dreadful sin of pride and helps us understand how little value material things of this world truly have. It helps us focus on eternal matters of salvation and holiness and the lostness of so many people in the world. It also gives us faith to serve, a faith that can withstand all the attacks that Satan wants to throw at us. So the faith that is strengthened through suffering, we are far more able to serve. We grow and are molded through suffering for Christ. Can we have the faith of the leader of the underground church and actually affect the world for the cause of Christ? And I think the answer is yes. It is a matter that Paul dealt with 2,000 years ago. Every day we have a choice whether to be obedient to our holy God or disobedient. How can we set that by and watch millions of people die every year who had no opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ? You would think in Albuquerque, metro area of over 800,000 people, with TV and radio and Bibles everywhere, churches throughout the town, there are still people who do not hear the message of Jesus Christ. We sit here free to worship. Free in a country to worship a mighty God. Why? Because of the blood of countless martyrs who have died and given their names that the lost may know Christ. And their names have been lost in the annals of history, not even remembered. But they did not seek their treasure here on earth. They sought their treasure in heaven, and they found it in the presence of Jesus Christ. How do we begin to strengthen our faith? How do we begin to see communities raised up to fulfill what we see in Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Here's the bottom line. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When we are obedient to do what he calls us to do. Like any journey, it starts with the very first step. Taking Acts 1:8 seriously and sharing the gospel with those that God puts in our path each and every day. We share with people through love and grace and mercy, not the truth of bitterness. And as we do this, we will see that our ability to share the message of Jesus Christ improves because we're doing it. And it'll become more effective because we're trying it. And it will bear fruit because we are obedient. To be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ and to go forth is all we can do. It's what God commands us to do. The Scottish patriot William Wallace was quoted as saying, "All men die, but very few ever really live." We often hear in our churches that Christ is what we should live for. I think that's a true statement. However, I think we should add something on. Is Christ worth dying for? That would be a more balanced statement. So if our lives, our purpose is to bring God honor and glory, then will we, as we go, make disciples? As we live our lives, will we begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And not do like so many American Christians do, try to shoot somebody with a Christian bullet, put a notch on their pistol and put it back in their holster, but share the gospel and then take the time to build the relationship to disciple them to maturity. Everything Christ did, he did through relationship. So we start with obedience. We start with obedience in this community, in this church. But where does it end? When obedience is followed and done properly, it ends to the nations, and that all nations might worship God. We need to learn how to shun the materialism of our society, which is consuming. Live more sacrificially, give more generously of our time, our talent, and our money, and show people the love of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the nations will come to praise God. So as we look at Psalm 67 tonight, it is full of what I call top line and bottom line. Let's read it one last time. God be merciful to us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Top line. Why? Bottom line. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Top line. Bottom line. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Top line. Then what comes? Then the earth shall yield her increase. Bottom line. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Top line. Followed by the bottom line. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we come before you this night, and it's our desire, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in each one of us, we can overcome our fears, our weaknesses, our temptations, and that we could live a life that shines, becomes a light to the nations, Father, for you. That people may come to know what an awesome God beyond our imagination you are. And that you will bless us richly, not as the world may know, not the way the world defines blessings in material things, but you will bless us, Father, because as we are obedient to you, we will grow ever closer to you. And that, Father, is the ultimate goal, that we should know you and worship you forever. Amen. So now tonight, I would ask that you do a little soul searching, that God's face would shine upon you, that he might be known throughout the earth, and the salvation of Jesus Christ, one person at a time, would come to the nations of the world. Thank you.